I love that verse in that song where it says, truths unchanged from the dawn of time. You and I did not write this book that we're about to listen and learn from. I have the privilege of preaching it to you this morning. It is a book that's objective, it's truthful, it's outside of us. You and I didn't write it. We listen to it and we get the pleasure of hearing from God's Word this morning. It has been, can you believe it, 1 year since Little Luther has been up on stage with me. And last October, if you recall, it was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And I went through a sermon series on the five solas, Latin for only, Scripture alone, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, through God, by God's grace alone, and for His glory alone. And it's good, I think, every year around this time, to pause and to talk about the Word of God this morning. So we're not going to be in Jonah this morning. The sermon is from, as you can see on the screen up there, 2 Chronicles 34, 14 to 21. And I encourage you to keep another ribbon or a finger in Deuteronomy this morning. In Deuteronomy. I'll be referring to it later on in the worship service. But Wednesday, this coming up Wednesday, is the 501st anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, as some of you know. And that is the day where Luther said enough is enough, and he nailed his 95 theses statements on the chapel door, as you know. And what that did is what it set off a reformation that is still going on. We are beneficiaries of Luther's stance on Scripture. Luther's stance on Scripture, not merely above papal authority, not merely above man's traditions, as you know, but as the exclusive source of authority. Y'all hear that? That's a big difference. It's not merely an authority or the most important source of authority, God's Word. It is the exclusive source of our authority this morning. And I could talk to you a lot about a lot of things that came out of Luther's heart to elevate and exalt the Word of God above and exclusively above all things. I could talk to you about also the clarity or necessity or sufficiency of Scripture. But this morning is about the authority of God's Word, what it brings and what it does to our hearts this morning. I had a professor, I'll never forget this, I was freshman in seminary, and I had a professor, Bruce Ware, and I ended up taking him for a lot of classes because I love this man. And his heart and the way he handled the Word of God in class, I will never forget. Dr. Ware had a heart for God's Word that I had never seen before. It was like the story on the road to Damascus when Jesus puts his arms around the disciples that were slow to understand everything that was written about Jesus in the law and the prophets. And then that famous next verse, it says, and then he opened up the Scriptures to them. He opened their minds so that they understood. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the Scripture to us? Now, I remember when my heart burned and ached for the truth of God's Word. And that was a moment in my life, moments in my life that semester I'll never forget. God changed my heart. Not that I didn't have reference for God's Word before, but after that, I was never the same. I had never seen a man treasure this book like that before. This book, this holy book. And once a year, like your anniversary, if you are married, once a year you take time out to remember why you fell in love with each other to begin with. You take time out and you might take your wife out on a date. And the purpose is to remember how it began. to remember your love for one another. And once a year, I think it's very necessary for us as a church to take a step back and to remember what it is that we are studying week in and week out. The moment we get over as Christians, God spoke to man. God, in all his glory and in all of his holiness, speaks to us. Mankind, as sinful and as wretched as we are, the moment we get over God speaks to man, we've missed it. We've missed it. Jonah is not going to be nearly as special to you if you forget that. The book of John is not going to be as special to you if you forget that. When you open up God's holy word to us, remember, God spoke. Luther understood this and never got over it. And the message for you this morning is neither should you and neither should I. Never get over the reality that God speaks to man. He did not have to do that. And yet we have God's gracious word that we get to read from this morning and revere it in our hearts. Here's the goal for today: to inspire reverence for the authority of God's word in your life, so that you treasure God's word above all things and obey God's word with all your heart. Let's remember this morning to treasure God's word. And so what I want to do before we read the passage that we're going to be specifically looking at this morning, let me read you some scriptures that will, I have been praying, do for you what Jesus did for the disciples on the road when their hearts burned within them. When is the last time you opened up God's word and felt his Holy Spirit descend on you and your heart burned for God's word and it came over you? And maybe you fell to your knees because you could sense the presence of God over his word and using his word. Just sit and just listen for a minute. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Exodus 31:18. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments which I have commanded you, all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6:1-9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua 1:8. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they even than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 97. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, Jesus says. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 17 through 19. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John 1, 1 through 3. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6, 68. Scripture cannot be broken. John 10, 35. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:37. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. 2 Timothy 4:13. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. The Word of God is so powerful this morning. Let it burn in your hearts this morning that God wishes to speak to you today by His Holy Word. In 2 Chronicles, Josiah, King Josiah, made a discovery that changed the course of Israel's history. He found something in the temple that was so precious and so neglected for so many years. King Josiah found the Word of God. He found the Word of God. Let's read about it. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Start with me in verse 14. While they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing. They have emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have given it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Achim, the son of Shaphan, Abnon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. Here we are. Let me give you some history and some context. 922 before Christ, 922, the kingdoms split under King Solomon. 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes to the south. There was a massive hemorrhage under Solomon's reign. The northern kingdom in 722 gets destroyed by Assyria. Assyria takes over Samaria in 722. The northern kingdom is destroyed by the Assyrian army. Babylon comes and destroys the temple in 586 BC. But we are not there yet. King Josiah comes before Babylon takes over the southern kingdom of Judah and the temple specifically. So the temple's still there. The temple has not been destroyed yet by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, the exiles, that has not happened yet. We're in a place in Israel's history, almost like the judges, where kings have come and kings have gone, mostly wicked kings. And when the kings during this era came, the wicked ones would erect different statues, different idols to different gods that they worshipped. They would bow down to these gods and worship them, the gods of the Baals, the gods of the Asherim. These gods came up even inside the temple worship space. The place where the presence of the Lord was supposed to be. When a good king would come, he would take away all those statues. Josiah was one of those good kings. Josiah began ruling the kingdom at 8 years old. 8. Let me tell you about King Josiah. At age 8, he became king. 16, he began to seek the God of David, his father. Look at 34 verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and the metal images that wicked kings, the kings of his fathers, put in the place of Almighty God and in the place of God's word. It was a wicked time. King Josiah knew that a judgment was coming. He knew that a judgment was coming. When he was 26 years old, according to 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had cleansed the land and the house, he then set his face to cleanse the temple, the presence of God. Get away these idols from the house of the Lord. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And what were the money exchangers doing? They were blaspheming the temple of God in Jesus' day. This is what was going on in the temple during the reign of King Josiah, when he was a young man, began to purge. And I love how the Word of God chronicles things. I love the written Word of God on our consciences, Romans chapter 2 says. Something was wrong in the mind of Josiah before he unrolled the scroll, which we'll talk about in a second, that was read to him. Something was written on his hearts. Was written on their hearts, excuse me. Something was on his heart. He knew that whatever was going on during this time was not right, and began to purge it before he found the Word of God. The Word of God exposed what the kings before him had done. And then he tears his clothes later on in this section of Scripture. But the Word of God is written on our consciences, Paul says in Romans chapter 2, by the Holy Spirit. We know what we are doing wrongly while we are doing it, and even before we are doing it sometimes. And then the Word of God comes and confirms what the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart already to do. And the application for that principle is this. You may not have read the Word of God. You may not have the Word of God in your home, but you're here. You may not have paid attention to the Word of God before today, but what you do have is your own personal Jiminy Cricket in the form of the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you this morning. Coming with power and authority, maybe for the first time in your hearts, and awakening your soul for the first time. Praise God. That never stops, by the way, does it, brothers and sisters? Never stops. Maybe another way of saying it is this. It should never stop. When we open up the Word of God, the Word of God should reign supremely, not in our heads only. This is what Luther's deal with. It's not just in our heads, it's in our hearts. How many references to the heart were read just a minute ago in the Scriptures that I read to you? This is not just lip service to an almighty God. This is heart worship to an almighty God. Josiah, upon reading the Scripture, realized something, that we have fallen well short of this. As a people during that time, we have fallen well short of the reverence and awe and respect that the Word of God has, and in the place that it has in temple worship, and in the place that it has in the church, and Lord willing, in the place that it has in your family, and in the place that it has in your heart. We have fallen short of that as a people. Josiah, under his reign, said, no more. We're not doing this anymore. And Hilkiah makes the discovery of the time when he finds the scroll. Question is, what did he find? What exactly was read to King Josiah? Some people say Deuteronomy. Maybe it was the scroll of Deuteronomy. Maybe it was Exodus. Maybe it was the whole Torah. Unlikely, because he read it in one sitting to Josiah. Some say. Perhaps it was just a section of Scripture. Perhaps it was, I think, maybe Deuteronomy. Imagine with me for a second if it was Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, as you know, Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law right before they go into the land. Moses says, don't forget the law. Don't forget that these tablets that we have that I smashed the first time, the second set of tablets in Deuteronomy, don't forget that these words, the law, the commandments of God, were written by the finger of God, and we should do everything we can to obey them with our whole hearts before you go into the land. Otherwise, it's going to go awful for you. And what happens? It went horribly for them because they forgot the book. They forgot to revere the book in their hearts. Just imagine Shapen reading this. Okay, before Josiah. Just imagine, just pretend with me that it was this for a second. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Just imagine this moment for a second. He did not have the Word of God ever. He has never read the Word of God ever. Never. He's a young man. Never heard the Word of God ever. Knows what's going on in his heart is wrong. Imagine his jaw continuing to drop the moment and with more scripture that is being read to him. Just imagine this. You shall have no other God. Let's just take the first two commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Oh boy. What have we done? What have we done? Verse 8. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Oh boy. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Exclusive God. The Word of God is not one authority among many. It is the solo authority. And your devotion to its author must be singular. God is not one of many treasures in your heart. He is the only treasure in our hearts. This is what sets Christians apart from all other people. We love and treasure God's Word. I'll pick it up in verse 9 again. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Listen to this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Let's pretend like that's what was read to him. Perhaps it was the Ten Commandments that Shapen unrolled and read to King Josiah. What if it was the Ten Commandments? Probably was, a lot of people think. You see his natural response back to Chronicles. In verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me. Chapter 34, verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us. Listen, because our fathers, you hear it? Can't you just pretend for a second, use your glorified imaginations, that it was maybe Deuteronomy chapter 6, maybe Exodus chapter 20, maybe the Ten Commandments read to him. You hear it right here. Great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in the book. It's a book. It's got letters and words that form sentences and paragraphs that form little books in the big book. Part of the Christian life, a large part of the Christian life. No, wait a minute, I can do better. The largest portion of the Christian life is learning this book above all things. To study and revere this book, we must be people who know the book. What's fascinating is that the absence of God's word revealed hearts in this time. And think about this for our day today. The absence of God's word, of people who don't have the word of God, the absence of God's word reveals hearts. What did the nation of Israel and specifically its kings do during the time when the word of God was not available? Well, they built statues to foreign gods and bowed down and worshiped them. Isn't it fascinating that the heart of man must worship something? Isn't that fascinating to you? God created you for worship. The issue is, what is it going to be that you worship? Not, are you going to worship something? You are going to worship something in life. It might be yourself that you worship. Number one, It might be sports that you worship, like I did. Y'all know my testimony. It might be your children or your family that you worship. What is it that you are worshiping this morning? The message for us this morning is worship God exclusively. The Lord, your God, is a jealous God. He will do whatever it takes to be the sole person in your heart. Trust me, He will. He will fight for you. He will come after you. He is after you this morning. He will appoint a great fish to swallow you up and spit you out so that He becomes the sole king of your heart. You will worship something in your life at all times. The question is not, will you worship? The question is, what will you worship? The absence of the Word of God revealed hearts during this time. What's also fascinating is the presence of the Word of God also reveals hearts. Not just the absence of the Word of God, but the presence. When they found the book and it was read before them, look at King Josiah's response. Look at it in verse 19. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. That's not an American cultural thing we do today. But what that symbolized is his broken heart for the nation of Israel in which he was king over, that did not revere the Word of God. Does your heart, what does your heart do when you think about our country right now? Is it kind of like, eh? Our country has the most access to the Word of God ever. In the history of the world, America, how many Bible apps are there in your smartphone? Thousands of Bible apps in your smartphone. How many copies of the Word of God do you have in your house? Do I have in my house? Not just the absence of the Word of God that preaches to us this morning. The presence of the Word of God says something about you. What does it say about a person who has the access and yet neglects it? It's not just the absence of the Word of God that penetrates our hearts this morning and convicts. It's the presence of the Word of God also. Josiah tore his clothes. He was broken because he had not treated the Word of God with the respect that it deserved. It was not front and central in his kingdom because he didn't have it. We have it. We have access to it. How many churches are in Fort Mill alone? How many Bibles are on your shelf and books in your library and studies that we have? We send our old studies here that are 2 years old. Overseas, we have so much of it here. Neglecting the book would be to our shame, church, and to our country. And our country is reaping the benefits of having the book, yes, but the presence of the Word of God is also not bringing the blessing of the Lord when it's neglected in our country. Josiah found the book, understood the significance of it, and wanted to change his kingdom forever. The response was one of humility by King Josiah. The response was one of heart change. The response was one of obedience. Obedience is the result of those who are convinced of the divine source of the Bible. Convinced of the divine source of the Bible. If you believe that this book was written by God, what is the proof of that in your life? Answer, obedience. Obedience. People who desire to obey God's word, and yes, we do it imperfectly, but if the desire is in your heart to obey God's word, like it is for every born-again believer, then you will desire to obey God's word. Obedience is the result of a person who is totally convinced of the divinity of Scripture, that its source is not human. Its source is God and God alone. I encourage you to take out your bulletin insert and use this as family worship time this week. Take out your bulletin insert as way of conclusion and application this morning. And I'll give you some application now in just a minute. This place will be open for prayer. Ephesians 6:4 specifically calls out fathers. And so that's where I get this question from. Fathers or husbands, are you teaching your family about the absolute authority of God's word? It's your job. You're the head of your household, Scripture says. How are we doing there, fathers and husbands? Parents, in Deuteronomy 6, that verse talks to you. Parents, mother, father, mom, dad. Parents, are you setting a temperature? Did you know that love is described in terms of temperature in Scripture? In the end times, at the book of Matthew, the Word of God says that towards the end, the hearts of some will grow cold. There will be a coldness about hearts in the end times. How is your heart doing this morning? Parents, are you setting a temperature of love for God's Word in your house? Parents, are you teaching and modeling private devotions for your children? Do they catch you when they open up the door on your knees pleading for their salvation? Do they catch you in moments like that? They'll remember that when they're old. When they're old, they will be able to say, I remember a time when my mother, when I came in bursting, I was maybe 7. I came in and I burst into her room and she was in tears on her knees praying for me. They'll remember stuff like that. Parents, are we teaching our children the Word of God, to revere the Word of God? I encourage you to take these questions home and use them as family worship and come up with your own questions. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love your law. We love your word this morning. I pray that it would be first place in our hearts, God, that we would learn to love it. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, where we have done anything but love your word with our whole hearts, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Amen.